Hey everybody, it's Tyler Corso, your Misfits manager. Just a few quick things before you dive into episode one of the Misfits Adventure Guide. We had a little bit of audio recording issues on our first episode as one of our players had to make an emergency trip across the country, but we still made it work and we loved how the episode turned out, so we cleaned it up the best we could and just let y'all hang with that. Don't worry, everything else is smooth sailing from here on out. Also, when we recorded episode one, we didn't actually even have a name for the show yet, but by episode two, we had the name, and as you come to know us, the Misfits Adventure Guide. So, thanks so much, and enjoy the episode. Everyone, and welcome to episode one of insert name here. currently, we're probably calling it the Misfits Podcast, but that I think that's a real Misfits thing, is not having the name down. So we'll figure it out as we go along. But this is episode one. This is a D&D real play podcast, and let's meet our players. Let's meet the people playing the characters and the characters. So let's hear it.
Hello, my name is Haley Whip Jack, here on this delightful, definitely named podcast. I'm going to be playing Dahlia Fermi. She's a college student. She's a college athlete. She loves hanging out at libraries to avoid college stuff. And she's happy to be here, quite frankly. And you know what? So am I.
Hi, I'm Kate, Katie Soros on some places, and I am going to be playing Helen Bulmer. Helen Bulmer is a retiree, and she works at Bevs and Books, which is the library sort of like little cafe. She is 72 years young. She's very interested in arts and crafts and that sort of thing. Yes, I really thought ahead about what I was going to say, as per usual. Crushed it, nailed it.
Awesome. Well, hello, I'm Abby, Abby Bland, that's my whole name, and I will be playing Bryony Silvering, who is about 25 years old and works for City Townville as a handy person, and likes to hang out in coffee shops, where she always orders a cherry Danish.
Ooh, delicious. And I am Tyler Corso, the dungeon master and leader of this ragtag group on the story side of things. We are here on episode one, and what we're going to do is we're going to kick off each episode. Before we dive in, we're going to give our players a moment to calibrate by giving them a warm-up question to answer about their characters, get in that headspace, and help us learn a little bit more about them. So you have a little context to this. They live in City Townville, and we'll get more into that. But yeah, they live in City Townville, Kansas. And they yeah, the state is specific. Yeah, because that can't change. They live in City Townville, Kansas. And, you know, they have a great life, great time. But your warm-up question is, where would your character like to go if they could go anywhere in the world? And we'll start with, yeah, same order. Haley.
Yes. So you gave me this question and I was just trying to think of, you know how every child gets like their parents basically assign their first interest by decorating their room?
Yeah.
I think Dahlia was a Paris kid, like just had Eiffel Tower, everything, not by choice, just because like one time mentioned thought it was cool and her parents were like, excellent, we've got gifts figured out.
They get you little baguettes and everything and like a beret.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just random French words up on the wall. So I think she'd like to go to Paris someday just to see what all the fuss is about.
Okay. Absolutely. Yeah. She'd love to go to Paris. How about Katie? How about Helen? Where would Helen love to go?
Ooh, well, Helen, her husband, Arthur, may he rest in peace. He had actually always promised Helen that they would take a trip to go see the Redwood Forest. And unfortunately, they never really got a chance to do that. You know, life got in the way. But Helen really likes nature and she really likes that sort of, you know, vibe of things that have been there for a very long time. And so, yeah, she really wants to go see the Redwoods.
Okay. And how about Bryony?
Bryony would like to go to, it's not just a place, it's an event, but the Montreal International Fireworks Competition in Canada. It's a month-long thing where they all do, like, firework displays. It's one of the best in the world. It's all choreographed to music, and it's try and win a trophy with the best display.
Wait, I know we're in a game, but real quick, is this real?
This is real. I Googled it.
Can we just cancel the meeting? Yeah.
We're going to Canada. Sorry, guys, we're going to Canada.
real quick. Is it happening now? Can we go?
It's in July, and I don't know if it's happening in a post-pandemic world, because it had a lot of people at it when it did happen. I'd have to look more into it, y'all. I just kind of Googled what I thought Brian, you would be into, and I found this, and then I was like, but I'm also into this, so... That's how that happens. Yeah. Right, I have a very sophisticated way of character building.
Okay. I love it. So we've got France to Paris. We've got the Redwood Forest, and we've got a fantastic fireworks festival / event, which is great. And with that, I think we're ready to get into it. Let's do it.
Woo.
And in an instant, Dahlia smacks against the ground, and as you look up, you see a very unfamiliar place. Red smoke everywhere, and the ground is trembling, but as you make a perception check...
Shit, fuck, that's so soon, shit. Fuck, I don't know my stats yet. Is it 12?
Okay. As you look around, you can't see much through the smoke. You look like mountains in the distance, and the ground underneath you is strange black and red coloring, but you've never seen this sort of thing before. What do you do?
Can I stand? Can I get up?
Absolutely. I'm on the ground. And as you stand up, with that 12, you can hear some other people as well.
Can I see any other people?
You can see shadows nearby that seem to be perhaps standing up just like you just did.
If I move, like if I wave, do the shadows wave? Are they following me?
Helen, you see someone wave through the smoke. And you have also found yourself in this strange place. And what does Helen do, seeing this hand wave through?
Helen is going to, am I standing, sitting? What's my...
I think you have just landed and you have just stood up.
Okay. Helen is going to very carefully pick up her handbag that she has. She's very, very like 1980s leather handbag. She's going to, like, make sure she's got all her stuff. She's going to, who's that? Who's there? What's going on?
Can I hear her?
Yes, you can hear that. Yeah, absolutely. That's maybe, you know, it's 10 feet away.
For sure. I do know Helen. Do I recognize
Helen?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. You recognize Helen right away.
Helen?
Is that
Helen?
Dahlia? Is that you, darling?
Yeah, are you? Wait, I'll come to you. Nope, you stay right there. I'm coming to you.
Okay, Bryony, make a perception check.
Perceive. I got a 10.
Okay, so you can hear they're speaking, but it's hard to hear it over this loud rumbling and sort of groaning of just the environment around you. But you can hear them, yes. You are in a red smoke-filled area. There is unfamiliar ground underneath you. What do you do, Bryony? You're in a panic.
Who said I'm panicking? Dahlia? Helen? You okay?
Yeah, are you... Wait, okay, wait, where are you?
I'm over here. Obviously.
And you're able to now see them as they stand up as well, and their shadow now makes itself visible to you. It's okay. A little difficult to see through the smoke, but you have been able to find each other. And at this exact moment, you feel that rumbling that you've been feeling. It gets closer. And as you look up, Dahlia, you see something absurd. You see what looks like a person, but they are 60 feet tall. And they look like they're made out of stone, and they are trudging in your direction.
Oh, that doesn't look good.
I was going for Helen. Did I make it to Helen?
Yes, yes. You got to Helen very easily. Cool.
Oh, Briny's also probably moving towards them.
Perfect. You're in a group now.
Yeah, I was just going to kind of take Helen by the shoulders and turn her. We're going this way. We're going this way. We're going to go this way. We're going the other way from that thing. But here we go.
All right.
Nope, we're not dealing with that.
I feel like Briny probably pulled out her cell phone and is like trying to take pictures.
Briny.
And up ahead of you, Dahlia, you see again this flash, like the moment when you landed here, there is a flash again, but up ahead of you, two portals open up about 100 yards away.
Yep, let's go for one of those. It's got to be better than here, right?
Briny, like, sees this and is still taking pictures now of the portal.
And as you begin to usher them, as you usher them towards those portals, you hear something. You hear this yipping and cackling and almost like the sound of, like, hyenas. But something is moving, and you can hear several of them moving through the smoke in your direction.
Yeah, running, running, running. We're running.
We're running now? Okay, we can run.
Yeah, I agree.
And so as you are all running, Dahlia, you see up ahead of you the two portals, and you're closing in on them. And there is one on the left, and there's one on the right, and they look identical.
Oh, Lord.
Go left. Always go left. Always go left.
And you usher them through. Do you all go to the left?
Yeah.
Yes.
Cool. And as you usher them through, you step through, and as you turn, you can see these horrific hound-like creatures with tentacles coming off of the back of their heads step out of the smoke just in time to watch you slip through the portal on the left. And as you do, in an instant, you are somewhere else. Make a constitution saving throw.
Oh, God, boy.
Fuck.
24.
No matter when or where I'm playing D&D, I have never once succeeded a constitution saving throw.
What did you roll?
I got a total of a 5. Thank you.
A total of a 5. And water begins to fill your lungs as you realize you are underwater and you are drowning. And you look around you and you can see Briony and you can see Helen trying to make their way to the surface. And then in an instant, you see giant jaws open up and clap down, and you wake up.
Of course.
And as you wake up, you recognize your space, your room, and the loud ringing of your alarm going off as the radio plays. Good morning, folks. It's another beautiful day in City Townville. Looking like clear skies for the rest of the week, which means fantastic weather for tonight's festivities. The annual holiday party is set to kick off around 6 p.m. Where will you be starting the night off, Megan? And as you can hear this playing in the background, you realize you're late for practice.
Shit. Fuck. Damn it. Shit. I'm just punching the top of the alarm clock because I guess I have an old-timey radio alarm clock.
You do indeed.
Listen, I've got all my stuff already packed from the night before, from the practice before. I can just grab my bag. I can run. I can skip breakfast. It's fine. I won't be at peak performance, but, you know.
You feel confident, absolutely, yeah.
So you make your way to
College University Academy, and today is the scrimmage where you're playing against your other members of the team, and this is helping just get you guys ready for bigger games. And make an athletics check to see how you're doing in the game. And what position do you play?
I'm the goalie.
You're the goalie on the hockey team, okay? And roll a athletics check. How are we looking, Dahlia?
Oh, well, here's the thing is I'm good at athletics checks, but I did roll another two, so that's going to be an 8.
Okay, and so perhaps this other team, the other half of your team that's playing against you, they're getting past your shots. You're a little distracted, perhaps, from this weird dream that you had involving your friends, Helen and Bryony, and this weird sensation. But you find yourself, again, you think go left, and as you go left, they shoot at you from the right, and they score. And you're running into that issue today. But your mind also takes you to a place while you're playing. You're watching the other team, and they're taking it down to the other side of the court, and they're taking shots at that goalie. And while this is going on, you're thinking, you know, this is something, but you know, you've seen in the books and on the internet all these other teams, the National Hockey League, the teams you'd love to play for or play against. You know, all you got to do is travel, right?
Yeah. They've been saying for a couple years now, we're going to soon have enough funding to get a bus and do away games. So that's what we're hoping for.
And as soon as that thought crosses your mind of leaving town to go play another team, it just kind of fades away.
Why would we need to leave?
Yeah, why? Why would you need to leave? This place is great. And your head is back in the game. Make another athletics check.
Come on, better. Come on. Almost can't. 11?
Okay, 11. So, you're getting a little bit more back into the heat of things. This is you working through this scrimmage. And ultimately, the other team ends up winning. It's a close game, but they do get a couple more shots past you. And with that in mind, it still crosses your mind that you've got other things that you could be learning. And you know that best place to learn that's a library. You've read so many books on different techniques to beat others at this game.
Yeah, I don't have any classes today. I'll just head off that way as soon as practice is over.
Okay. And Dahlia Fermi heads off to the library when practice is over to kind of gear up and prep for the next game.
Yeah.
You know, it's a game of the mind. If you can beat them at that, you've got them in any way.
You just read enough books, you get good at sports. That's my understanding.
And with that, we find over at the local YMCA in the middle of class. A middle of a Tai Chi class, we find Helen Iris Bulmer. And the instructor is leading through the next motion and the next move. And how is Helen taking to her new Tai Chi classes?
Helen really likes Tai Chi. Helen has always really liked sports. She's very, you know, spry for a woman of a certain age. And she's one of those people who is always sort of like trying new things. And so she's really been enjoying Tai Chi. She is slightly frustrated because she has a propensity to wear a lot of jewelry, like just like a lot of jewelry. And so one of the things she finds frustrating is that the Tai Chi is constantly sort of like moving her bangles and her bracelets. And that she finds that to be a little bit annoying, but you know, she thought about taking them off, but it would ruin the look. And Helen is always doing the most.
can't ruin the aesthetic.
So she's just sort of like, you know, she's having this like moment of like, I'm really enjoying this, but wow, this is really annoying. But the look is the look. I can't do anything about that.
Okay. Excellent. Well, let's call this one. This will probably be a dexterity check.
Okay.
Yeah, give me a dexterity check.
Oh, and that's an 18.
Okay. Yeah, your form is great. And the instructor even comes by and says so. It's just, you know, Helen, it is wonderful to have you. You're really picking things up. You know, your form, if you take that just a little bit lower, other than that, you're golden. Everyone, please keep your eyes on Helen. This is what we're looking for, that loose yet firm, all at the same time. Allow it to flow. Thank you, Helen. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. At some point, I'm going to stick to a voice, but we're just trying it out today. All right.
Helen, you seem to have a cold. That's not what you sounded like yesterday. No.
Well, you know, once you get to a certain age, you never know what's going to come out.
And so the rest of Tai Chi class happens, and the hour is up, and they're getting set up for the cycling class afterwards, and everyone is saying their goodbyes and, you know, see you tomorrow for the class. It feels like a Monday through Friday class, yeah?
Yeah, oh, definitely.
And the weekends are, you know, to yourself. But Monday through Friday, you've got that Tai Chi class. And, you know, you've got to get ready for work as you'll be heading into Bev's and Books coming up soon. And as you're leaving the YMCA, you see someone who is familiar to you. You see Sophie Berkshire walking by. And Sophie is the old mayor of the town. And Sophie looks, give me an insight check.
That is a natural 20, but it'll be a 25.
Okay, absolutely. Sophie looks a little on edge and is sort of looking around the area as they're walking by. So you're walking out of the YMCA and you lock eyes or you see Sophie, and they definitely look like something's bothering them.
Is that Sophie?
What? Who said that?
Oh, it's Sophie. It's me, Helen. How are you? Are you all right? You seem a little. What's going on, sweetheart?
And what you know about Sophie is that Sophie used to be the mayor of the town. Okay. And she managed everyone. She was so lovable, so kind. Everything was great until an incident with the crystal, you know, the power source of, you know, your city and all that stuff, mm-hmm. you know, the standard stuff. And there was an incident where there was some accident or situation. No one quite knows. But after that, Sophie became obsessed with expanding the crystal's workings, streetlights made out of crystal, cameras and everything that was powered by the crystal, more and more kept being focused on, so much so that she had to step down from being mayor because she wasn't doing any of her mayor duties. And her son, Lynn, took over as mayor for the city. And so you see Sophie and you call out, you know, and, I don't know if there's enough lights. Strung up several, but, you know, I'm not really sure if there's enough up.
Well, enough up for what, dear?
Well, the festival, the holiday party tonight.
Is that tonight?
Yes, it is. Did you set up your house with crystal lights? Did you do enough of that for your home? I could swing by and set some up.
That certainly isn't necessary. It's awfully thoughtful of you to ask. But Sophie, what are your plans for tonight?
To keep setting these up, make sure everything goes well. Make sure that we've got all the designs for the lighting, because they're in a very particular design. Helen, I gotta ask. You know, you're one of my oldest friends around here, and
of course.
You know, if that is true, who knows? And don't worry.
Of course it's true, sweetheart.
Oh, that's nothing against you. You wouldn't understand yet. Do you ever feel different? Do you ever feel like something's wrong?
Well, I mean, you know, gender and sexuality is a broad spectrum, and I've been reading a lot about it lately. And so, I mean, I just want you to feel, you know, safe and supported. If there's something that you want me to talk, I mean, I might be old, but I'm certainly not close-minded. So, are you all right, Sophie? Do you want to come over and I'll make you a cup of tea? I have to get to Bev's and Books, but I'll make you a cup of tea and we can sit and chat if you'd like.
Tell you what, I need to stop by the library later anyway. I'll just come see you at work.
All right.
Okay, perfect. Now, I got to finish setting up 3rd Street. Want to make sure we've got all the crystal-connected lights that we can. You know what? What do you think? Bird or reptile?
Oh, bird, definitely.
Okay. Yeah, you strike me as a bird person.
What? Sophie, I'm...
And Sophie begins to just head away. And she is going down and you see her working on what look like essentially like Christmas lights, but also they're connected to the street lights. And Sophie's always done this ever since that incident. They've been really big about the holiday party and any festival that involves working with the crystal.
Yeah. Can I roll maybe like a perception check? Because Helen was an art teacher for many mm-hmm. years. And so she's got like a pretty good like spatial visual situation going on.
Uh-huh.
Can I roll like a perception check and just see if I notice like any direct sort of shape or
absolutely. Yeah, I'll give you that. Yeah, go ahead and make that roll.
That is going to be an exciting 13.
Okay. So as just an art person and an art teacher, you do note like there's some symmetry and there's some clever design to this. You can't quite like make out what it is, nor does it, you know. But at the very least, you know that in your observance of the lights and all the holiday decorations, especially ones that Sophie's been involved in, they do make some sort of pattern throughout the city, which, you know, it's just kind of like cool, you know, the extra little thought.
Sure. So it's definitely like intentional.
It seems like that.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. But you know, you couldn't like draw it on a piece of paper just because it's, you know, you haven't paid that much attention to it, but you're picking up on it.
Sure. Okay. That makes sense.
But yeah, it's you from there, I think you make your way to Bebs and Books and you clock in and get set up at your, you know, at your station, ready to make beverages and, you know, coffee. And we'll roll to see how busy it is today. Ooh, natural 20. What is your ideal day? Do you like it busy? Do you like it slow? What is Helen's ideal?
I mean, I think the thing Helen loves the most about working at the library is that there's always like a steady stream of people, but they're usually there for a time. So the thing that Helen likes the most is that, you know, it might be busy. There might be like four or five people in like this little small coffee shop, but you know, they're going to be there for like 20, 40 minutes, a couple of hours. So she gets a chance to like talk to each person, check on them, see how they're doing, you know, Helen kind of, I think, falls into sort of this like de facto mom role for like a lot of the students, like when they're missing their families and stuff. And so she's always like asking about projects, asking about boyfriends, you know, like that kind of thing. So it's like, it's funny because Helen like sort of like her vibe is like the bartender you trust with your secrets, but like she's at the library. So.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. And that is exactly what today is. It is a perfect day. Helen's favorite kind of day. You're getting all those juicy little gossip conversations going on. And all of that is rocking out. And then the machine breaks down, as wont to do. And you know, there is someone that you got to call to fix that. And
is it Byron?
as you whip out your phone to call your friend Bryony Silverring, we're gonna jump over to Bryony Silverring. We're gonna jump over to your home where you're all set up. So describe Bryony's home. What do we find? It's early morning. You know, it's like 8 or 9 a.m. At the top of the top of the morning. Where do we find you in your home, and what are you doing?
So Bryony has a small like living space. It's a one story house, one bedroom house, and it's catastrophic with like open books and papers and plans and schematics just around, and the occasional paper airplane and slingshot just lying there. Bryony probably wakes up and like has water and like makes herself like a simple breakfast. Bryony has a dog named Gunner. Gunner doesn't like Bryony very much. It doesn't dislike Bryony, but it's kind of like wary of her, and just he used to belong to her dad. And so Bryony probably like feeds Gunner, and yeah, that's how her day starts. It's just pretty easygoing.
Absolutely. And so you're set up, you're at Gunner, and what does Bryony look like? And we'll get the description of everybody here in a sec, but what does Bryony look like?
Bryony is average height, whatever that is. And Bryony has short red hair. Bryony's uniform by choice is usually some cargo pants. She likes having pockets to carry things in. She's always carrying like multi-tools and stuff. And she has some safety glasses that are a little scuffed from being used all the time. She doesn't need them except to like, they're not prescription, obviously. So she has them like probably pushed up in her hair like a headband because she always needs to have them at the ready.
Yeah. Okay, excellent. And yeah, your morning's starting off. You're getting everything, the standard stuff around the house. You're getting geared up for a day of working for the city. You probably have a project or two they already sent you out on and you're getting ready to head in. You're not like out of town, but you're getting ready to head on to your next, your projects for the day. And what do you drive?
Briny bikes.
Briny bikes. Okay, absolutely. And so Briny bikes around town, super simple, super easy. Everyone recognizes you, you know, and people, you know, wave as you're off to one thing or another. You stop at the grocery store because they needed some repairs done on one of their cooling systems that had busted overnight. And you work on that and you find yourself running about working on, you know, the gas station nearby because several people do have cars and, you know, people come in and out of town all the time and they needed something repaired with their readers, and so you came by and you worked on that, and then your phone rings and you can see Helen's name show up on the caller ID.
All right, it's a flip phone. Briny opens it. Well, hey Helen, that machine acting up again.
Briny, I don't know how many times I'm going to have to call you before somebody does something about this, but would you mind terribly, I know you're super busy, but would you mind terribly just coming down and, you know, just taking a look? It's doing the thing again. You know when it does the thing?
Oh, yeah, with the noise.
The thing with the noise and the banging. It's doing the banging thing again.
Oh, the banging? Frankly, okay, yeah.
It's really bad today, and there's a lot of people. They're just trying to study. I feel terrible.
All right, Helen. Yeah, no problem. I can come look at it. It's never an issue.
Absolutely. So, yeah, you're able to wrap up your project and head on over there. And sure enough, it's doing the banging thing. to show up. And do me a favor, roll a perception check for me, Briny.
Perceive the banging.
Yeah.
Nine.
Okay. Yeah, no, you're pretty locked in and focused on the task at hand. And so, yeah, you go into
tinkering.
Work. Yep. You go to work tinkering. And Dahlia, you're there. You're working on your studies, you're researching. And that, I mean, you've heard this before, but how do you respond? How do you respond now? Briny's just walked in and has gotten to work on it. Helen's back there probably apologizing to people about, you know. but how are you reacting now that you're here?
Yeah, I mean, this is a common thing. The machine always does the banging. We know it. It's annoying at first, and then you tune it out when you're in there enough. But I think Dahlia's kind of on edge today after the really vivid dreams, and then practice sucked, and she loves being helpful. So okay. I think she's just going to fully leave all her stuff splayed out all over this table and go up to Briny fixing the banging at the machine and probably accidentally sneak up on her.
What I was thinking is that Briny probably has headphones in. That's what helps her focus. Yeah. So she has like her headphones on and is just like jamming while she's fixing the machine.
So yeah, just all of a sudden there's a large woman next to you, just kind of leaning into your space. Anything I can do?
Oh,
can I help?
Hey, Dahlia. No, yeah. I got it.
You sure?
This is my job. I got it.
Yeah, you know, definitely. Are you okay, by the way?
Yeah, why wouldn't I be okay?
I don't know.
It's a great day. I don't know what day of the week it is. What day of the week is it?
It is Friday.
Yeah, it's Friday. We're about to hit the weekend. Like, it's a great, mm-hmm. it's a great day.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, I'm super glad to hear it. I don't know why anything would be wrong. Everything's good. And will
Dahlia,
be forever.
Are you okay?
Yep. And also, is there anything I can do to help you with the machine? You already said no, but I'm asking again just in case.
I got it. I fix it all the time, you know?
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's old hat.
Helen, make a perception check.
All right. That is a Natural 20.
What does everyone else get to roll good today?
You can see that's what I rolled. That's what I rolled in a D&D game.
I'm seeing your crazy numbers. So
it's a 23 total.
Okay. So yeah, with that natural 20, absolutely. So yeah, I mean, you know, Dahlia's come up and is talking to Bryony, and, you know, I mean, you're friends. That's not something that bothers you at all. And with that, though, you are looking out and maybe you're telling people like, oh, you know, the machine will be back up in a moment. And they're very kind about it. They don't mind. But you do take note of everyone in the room, and you do lock eyes with a familiar face. The town mechanic, the town auto mechanic, John Doe.
Yes, I and go to John Doe.
You remember, you know John Doe, and this actually strikes you as exciting because you know that John Doe, who moved here from out of town and has set up shop to be the, you know, the car, the auto mechanic here. So funny, you didn't seem to have one, but, you know, so glad John's here. And John, you know, has asked Bryony out a time or two. And Bryony, I'll let you tell us right now, how have you responded to that in the past?
Bryony is probably a little bit oblivious about it.
Okay.
Bryony likes being by herself. Yeah.
Okay, absolutely. So yeah, maybe even just like haven't even noticed or brushed it off. You know, like, oh, you want to grab dinner sometime? Like, I mean, it, whatever.
Like it doesn't click for Bryony that this is like a romantic pursuit. It's just like, oh, okay. This, he just wants to have, yeah, we could figure that on the calendar probably. I don't know.
But it absolutely clicks for Helen. And you see John walking in and heading in that direction.
So Helen is going to... Also, I think this whole time Helen has just been like holding a cup of tea. Like Helen just like always got like tea just on hand. And so Helen is going to sort of like notice John, who she's pretty sure moved here from France. I believe it's D'EAU. John of water is actually what that translates to. Mm-hmm. and so she's going to kind of like gesture him over and say, just very loudly and very like performatively, oh, John, thank goodness you're here. Poor Bryony is here working on this machine, trying her.
I like in the background that Bryony's probably like jamming to her music, fixing the machine, like does not have a care in the world, like is very just fine.
Oh, well, I imagine, John, I hate to put you out, but as a car mechanic, well, I'm sure you must know a thing or two about, you know, machines. Why don't you come over here? Why don't you come over here and help Bryony with the machine? If you don't mind, I hate to put you out.
Yeah, certainly, Helen, anything for you. And, you know, I mean, Bryony's, you know, fully capable, I'm sure, but I could give it a look.
Oh, yes. Well, you know, you great minds, when put together, you know, sometimes solve harder problems. Bryony. Bryony.
What? Yeah, Helen?
John's here. John offered to help if you need a head. Why don't you two? And then Helen kind of like puts one hand on like John's shoulders and like one hand on like Bryony's and like puts them closer together. Like, why don't you two work on it together?
I already fixed it.
And at this point, the sound is just gone.
And Bryony's like covered in like coffee, like grounds and stuff, just very dirty glasses and just like a mess. Just, I already did it.
Helen looks very disappointed, but now it's like now she's made it way more awkward than it needed to be. And so Helen goes, oh, well, thank you so much, Bryony. John, maybe you could teach Bryony about cars. Like now she's just floundering. She's out in the air. She looks at Dahlia for help. Like, oh no, I did it again.
I'd actually love to learn about cars. My moped breaks constantly. Do you know things about that?
Yeah. I mean, if you bring it by the shop, I'd be happy to help you out. Get it looked at. Maybe, you know, if it keeps breaking, you probably got a continual problem that we want to handle. Bring it on by sometime.
100%. I'd ask Bryony, but I don't know. Bryony, do you know things about like engines? I should have guessed.
I know
first.
Things about everything. Yeah,
I should ask you first. I'm sorry.
Yeah, frankly, Bryony should be teaching me stuff, you know, like when I first
take it
moved
back.
In.
I'm going to bring it to Bryony. I'm so sorry.
No, that's OK. I mean, heck, I wish I could learn from Bryony, you know, like one of these days I'll convince you to let me, you know, like work on the crystal with you. And at that, everyone make a wisdom saving throw.
Oh, shit. Fuck, damn it.
Hey everyone, it's Corso, your Misfits manager. We're so glad you're listening to our show and just have a few short announcements to shoot your way. First off, thank you to everyone who's listening. We just dropped this and it means a lot to us, and we really hope you enjoy the Misfits Adventure Guide. Second, if you like the show, there are several ways you can help support us. For starters, we have a Patreon at patreon.com/misfitsparty. All levels gain access to our exclusive Discord server. You can get episodes early, you can help name people and things in the show, and even get access to our monthly bonus episode where we're going to talk about the month's best and worst moments in the game. Other ways you can support us by hopping over to Apple Podcasts and leaving us a 5-star review ski. The more we get, the more they're going to tell people about us. So, you know, that would be dope. Please do that. You can also follow us over at Twitter at Misfits Party. You can tweet at us, let us know how you're liking the show so far. And you can also hit us up directly at misfitsparty@gmail.com. Again, thank you so much for listening. And now let's keep rolling.
Bryony, work on the crystal?
19 plus 1, 20. Well, I 17. Work for the city. Mm-hmm.
I guess that makes sense.
And the crystal powers the city.
Crystal powers the city, 100%.
Okay, so Bryony got a 20. What did Helen get?
A nine.
Okay. And Dahlia, what'd you get?
17.
17. Okay. So Bryony and Dahlia, you just kind of brush off the comment. But Helen, for just a brief moment, his interest in working with the crystal, and this is something that, you know, he jokes about or brings up all the time, but his interest in that, something in you almost becomes hostile. It doesn't take over, but there is a moment, there is a flare of something in you gets offended by that comment of wanting to interact with the crystal. And how does that show itself?
Oh man. I mean, I think Helen is having a lot of years on everybody. I think Helen takes her role as like sort of being that like matronly comforting figure very seriously. And so I think she's going to initially like feel that moment of, you know, like anger or whatever. And she's going to like grip her like little teacup, maybe like a little too hard. It's like one of those like paper Starbucks cups, you know?
Uh-huh.
And so it's going to like bend. And she's going to kind of like immediately realize that like, you can't do that. We have to be respectful. And so she's going to sort of like very guiltily, like put her cup like over on the counter, and maybe like just sort of like towel off her hands from where the tea spilled. And she's going to say, well, we all are certainly curious people, aren't we? Well, John, perhaps you might, well, Bryony, are you doing anything this evening for the holiday? What are your plans for this evening, Bryony?
Well, they always, I'm making the fireworks. They have me make the fireworks.
Right.
So I'm gonna run that.
That is way more interesting than what I was going to suggest. So never mind. What does an old lady know anyway? And Helen has like exhausted all of, like, she was trying so hard to make it happen. And Bryony, yeah. Totally. So like, I think Helen's just going to like literally throw up her hands and be like, who wants a muffin? And just,
I would like, love a muffin.
I'd love a muffin.
Love a muffin.
All right.
Actually, do you have a cherry Danish?
Oh, yeah. Yes, of course. And Delia, do you want your usual?
Yeah.
And with that wave of that aggression kind of fades away, and the subject has changed. And John says, "Well, I'll see you tonight at the festival. Happy holiday party." And heads on out.
Yeah, you have a good day, John.
And he just kind of waves back to you, and heads on out. And the rest of your day, you know, it goes by fairly normal. People are getting ready for the holiday party festival, and there's all sorts of decorations being put up. People are wearing costumes, everything. You got fireworks that are getting set up soon by Bryony, who's gone off to double check on some of that. And you still have some downtime before the festival. And you find yourself back at the shop, back at Bev's and Books, by, you know, end of day. In an hour or so, you got to go check in and get to your positions and things for the rest of the night. And someone walks in. A hooded figure walks into Bev's and Books. And it's strange because they're not wearing like a hoodie or anything of the sort. Like, they're wearing like a cloak and a long hood drawn over their head, and their robe sleeves run all the way down, completely covering their hands. So you can't even see appendages or anything, just the slick black pants that they're wearing and this gray robe that covers everything. And they walk into Bev's and Books. Everyone, you all notice this because it's pretty dead at this point.
Mm-hmm. You expecting rain, stranger? Hasn't rained here in like 3 weeks.
This figure doesn't respond to that. They head over and they seem to start perusing the books.
Well, I, for one, appreciate the effort gone to for the holiday costumes. It's not every day that somebody is so committed. I appreciate it. Do you need help finding anything in particular, friend?
Help finding. Yes. Help finding. Yes.
Are you perhaps looking for a book? I know a lot about, I know my way around the Dewey Decimal System.
Power source is a book, perhaps. Man flesh. Book on crystal. Yes, book on crystal.
Well, we have all sorts of geological books. Is there one in particular you're looking for? We've all sorts of books on crystals, on geodes, on cave formations, on peninsulas. I'm really stretching.
Where did Manflesh get crystal outside?
I'm so sorry. Is Manflesh, is that the author that you're looking for? Is do you have a first name? We can look him up in the computer on the World Wide Web if you need to. And Helen like goes over to the little computer and she types with like two fingers. She's like, is that like M-A-N and then like flesh, just how it sounds? Or like, we're going to find this for you, friend.
And this person approaches you over at that little computer. And as they pull back this hood now, you can see a blonde-haired, blue-eyed, couple of freckles, young man. And he looks maybe in his early 20s or so. But just looking at him, everyone make an insight check.
Yeah, I was about to ask if this guy seemed like he was going to do anything untoward to my friend Helen.
It's a 24, but it was not a 20.
Okay, so 24. Dahlia?
12.
12, okay.
18.
All right, so Dahlia, you don't necessarily like the vibes of this guy.
Yeah.
You don't know necessarily like any particulars, but you do not like the vibe of this
guy. Keeping an eye on him.
And Helen and Bryony, something just kind of peaks here with the 18 and 24. The way that this guy is speaking, not only is that odd, but it almost
it's almost like the voice doesn't match the guy you're seeing in front of you. Like it sounds, you know, and that's, you know, not to judge anyone, but your thoughts are just kind of like, that's odd. And he is now approached you and taken down his hood and is looking at you on this computer. And he taps his fingertips on the monitor. Does this control crystal? That would be very easy. This control crystal?
No. And I think at this point, Helen is in one of those moments where she feels her age. Because Helen doesn't like to admit that she's perhaps not the fastest and she's not the, you know, the strongest anymore. But Helen is looking at this like very sort of like imposing 20 something. And she has that little twang of like, I'm a little uncomfy. And so she goes, but you know who might have more information? My good friend, Bryony. Bryony, would you mind joining us over here? And Dahlia, maybe you as well.
Yeah, of course.
Maybe we could help this fellow together. And sort of Helen like kind of girl codes it, you know, kind of gives him the eye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, what do you guys do?
Bryony just like saunters on over. Yeah, Helen, what are you looking for? What do we need?
This gentleman is looking for information about a crystal.
Oh, like the crystal?
Make a wisdom saving throw, everyone.
Okay.
Oh, beans.
3.
Oh, darn. 13.
Dirty 20.
Okay, so the 13 and the 20, you are fine. You don't experience it this time. But with a 3, Bryony, you say the crystal, and something about that angers you. Like, you don't get to ask about that. Stranger, like, that sets in you.
Mm-hmm. We don't talk about that with strangers. Who are you? Where are you from, sir?
You know about crystal. This controls crystal. And he puts his hands on the monitor again. And it's a library. Like, these aren't, you know, these aren't necessarily set up so that they can be mobile. And this monitor, it's a nice big monitor. So people, you know, have able to stop by and look things up. But it is bolted to the table. And he grips it and with what seems like ease, tears it straight out of the podium.
Oh, sir,
That's just inappropriate.
I can fix it, Helen.
And he puts it under his arm and he goes to walk out the door.
Can I put an arm out in front of him? Just like in his path?
Yes, absolutely.
Where are you going?
Okay. This would be a contested strength first strength.
18.
He got a nat 1.
Hey.
And so, yeah, you just fucking stuff this dude. Maybe even get him. Matter of fact, he falls backwards. He was not expecting any resistance. And as you put your hand out, this guy falls backwards. And when he does on a nat 1, his coat, his whole robe sort of opens up in the fall. And you can see that he is wearing... he's wearing a t-shirt that has a design on it. But it's strange. It's like only... half of a design. It's like you see the logo for a soda company, but only the first third of it. You know what logo it is. You know what the other two thirds of that should be, but it's like only the first third of it is printed on the shirt.
Mm.
And you see that the clothing that's being worn, fashion sense wise, it doesn't make a lot of sense. Like it's that half like printed t-shirt, and it's got like a fanny pack on, but it also has like a belt, and there's a suspender on one side, and
just one.
all of it doesn't make sense. It's like a bunch of different bits of fashion put together. But on top of that, you notice marks of red all over this person. Now that their cloak is open, they seem to be covered in splashes of red. And I would say make an insight check.
All of us?
All of you. Yeah, you all see that.
4.
This is a dirty 24.
6.
OK.
Okay, 24. So a 6 and a 4 for Dahlia and Bryony. You don't really piece it together. It doesn't make, you know, it doesn't matter. Whatever. Confused. People wear weird costumes. But Helen, you recognize blood. You recognize a fair amount of blood. And you know, even though you're the one who thought, you know, oh, costumes are great, Helen, in your years, that moment, you see it. And that is blood. And it is not theirs.
Oh, dear.
And this person then goes to stand back up off the ground. Man flesh. Don't stand in my way.
You didn't answer my question. Where are you going? It's not yours.
Dahlia, do you remember a couple of years ago when you were playing in the championship and you did that one thing in the goal, and Helen kind of does like a little like moo as though like, you know, and she's like, would you mind demonstrating that for me again? And she kind of like gestures to the guy.
Yeah, for sure. Can I slam my entire weight into this guy?
Yes, go ahead and make an athletics check right now, and I will oppose it. So this is like a shove attack.
21.
Another nat 1. Dahlia, you just tell me what you do. This is yours. You tell me what you do to this
dude. My old art teacher, Mrs. Bulmer, says, can you do that thing you did in hockey? And like does a shoulder move. And I go, yeah, for sure. And I just like flying leap my whole weight into the guy. This is not a move I've ever done in a hockey game. That's not how goalies work. But it seemed like a bad situation.
But you understood. Yeah.
I want to push him into the ground and I guess be on top of him so he doesn't get back up again.
Okay.
Knock the wind out of him.
And I think like while Dahlia is doing that, I think Helen has like gone back around the counter and she's found like an extension cord. And I would like to try and tie this guy up.
With an extension cord?
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead and make a dexterity check. Yeah, I'll give you that. You knocked him prone. Dahlia is sitting on him.
I got him.
Bryony and Helen, you're able to do whatever you want in that instance before there's any retaliation or remarks.
That is a dirty 21. This is the best I've ever rolled in my entire life.
Did he keep a hand on the computer?
Yeah, he keeps his hands on the computer when he fell. But... yeah, he's holding on to the computer. And you got a 21 there?
Yeah, dirty 21.
Okay, so yeah, you absolutely are able to tie that guy up because you've taken a lot of classes. You've taken a lot of stuff.
I think like what Helen is, she's just like, Helen is like, tie this dude up, and she kind of looks over at like Bryony and Dahlia. She goes, listen, when you're married for 50 years, at some point, you need to develop a certain set of, never mind.
Mrs. Bulmer, I really don't want to hear that now.
I don't need to know that, Helen. What is your plan here, though? What is the plan here?
That's a great question, Bryony. Here's the thing. That man has blood on him, and I don't think that it's his. And so I think we need to at least...
Whose do you think it is?
Anybody but him. So I suppose, well, one, we should try and maybe find the person whose blood it belongs to. But also, I think that maybe calling the authorities is in order. The man has tried to rob the library, and frankly, I'm not quite sure that he's well. And I think the kindest thing to do would to make sure that he's not going to try and hurt anybody else.
Okay. That sounds good to me. I could go call. And so, Bryony, I don't need to go anywhere. We have cell phones.
Yeah.
Bryony just like pulls out her flip phone and like calls whoever she would call. Okay,
but the question I have though is, does Bryony like open the phone or does Bryony do that cool like flip thing with the flip phone?
One-handed.
Yeah, the one-handed flip.
This is an important character choice.
Or is Bryony doesn't want to wear out type of person?
This is a big moment.
I think Bryony probably just uses her thumb because she got dexterous hands because she's like a handy person. So it's just like, I don't even need to like.
Okay. And who would you call in this moment? Like what department or what? Are you calling 911? Are you calling someone specific? Who would you want to call?
Ghostbusters.
Our local chapter. Will be calling us. Yeah.
Briny would probably, if there's someone in the city that would take care of this, Briny would probably call a specific person. Briny maybe wouldn't be the kind of person who just calls the cops.
Well, your head boss would be Lynn, the mayor, but right, also like works.
Just call Lynn.
Yeah, mayor. So you just straight call up call. Yeah, you just straight up call the mayor. Okay, yeah, absolutely. And yeah, and there's a little bit of ringing, and then the phone answers, and you hear, "Yeah, what's up, Briny?"
Hey, Lynn, Mr. is Berkshire. Is that what the name is?
Yeah, it is Lynn Berkshire.
Berkshire, hi, Mr. Berkshire, sir. We have a situation down here at the library. There is a man. I guess it's a man. Who tried to take the computer from Helen, and Helen tied him up because Helen apparently has some skills. But he's got blood. Yeah, I just decided to call you. You seemed like the kind of person who would, you know what to do in this situation. What should we do?
I'm sorry. Did you wait a minute? Did you say you tied someone up and they?
Helen tied someone up.
Okay,
Briny, tell him about the blood.
I told him about the blood.
Also, tell him I said hi.
Yeah, hold on.
Helen says hi, by the way.
Tell him it was like a full robbery, also, like that he was trying to do. Like it was a crime. Definitely.
Are you okay?
Oh, yeah, we're great.
Oh,
we got him subdued.
Okay, yeah, I'll grab some folks. I'll be right over. Stay there.
I mean, okay.
Okay, try not to tie anyone else up unless you have to, I guess. Is it just one person?
Yeah, it's just the one. I think we got it handled, to be honest. I just thought I'd call you because I wasn't sure next steps, you know?
At that moment, the front doors get kicked in. And they're those that slide open glass doors that automatically open and slide. But they have just been kicked and busted in as another person in a similar looking robe walks
tell
in.
Tell him there's another person.
Mr. Berkshire, sir, there's another one. So I'm going to have to call you back, okay?
And right before, like, hangs up. Right before you hang up, you hear him go, "What are you talking about? What are you?" And then you hear glass breaking in the background.
Good, good.
Well,
good,
that doesn't good. Sound good. Girls, we have a situation.
And are we this girls? Front door.
For now. Girls,
we have a situation.
Some other person has just completely kicked in, and you can see it. They just used their foot and they bent these metal doors inward and are now stepping in.
Don't worry, Helen, I can fix that.
I think Helen's instinct is to protect the girls. Which is completely illogical because, like, they're both much younger than Helen's, like, tiny little, like, old lady. And so I think Helen is going to, like, kind of duck behind, like, the coffee counter and start looking for, like, anything she can use as, like, a makeshift weapon to, like, protect the girls. But, like, you know.
Absolutely. Give me an investigation check. And at the same time, Dahlia, give me a perception check.
Yeah, I was also 17.
Okay,
this is sick.
You were also going to say something, Dahlia?
I was going to ask if I could get the monitor out of the one dude's hands.
Yeah. Okay. So here's what I'll give you all at once. So Helen is looking for a weapon, and with a six, you look back there, and what you get is you just grab like a ceramic coffee mug, is because you just kind of like reach over trying to find something, and the first thing that's there is just a clean coffee mug. So it's got a handle, you know, you could maybe break it and, you know, however, but you have a coffee mug. Dahlia, that perception of 17, I can let you attempt the grab of the monitor first. That'll be a strength free strength. Hopefully, we'll see whatever this guy gets, but he's got 22. Two nat ones against you. You got a 22?
Yeah, I'm strong.
All right. He got a 16. And so, yeah, in prone and tied up. You tied him up. So, honestly, he was just trying
strength.
He was just gripping onto it while you tied him up. But yeah, you just yanked it out because he didn't have any luck there. So yes, you get that monitor out of his hands. It's, you know, it's just a computer monitor, but yeah, you absolutely got it out of his hands.
Couldn't have done anything with it.
With your perception of 17, though, everything in the town is connected to the crystal in one way, shape, or form. It, you know, it's your power source. I mean, like, you know that other places use electricity. Like, you know that. Like, you guys have some electricity. You have it in some places, like your cell phones and stuff. But a lot of your other stuff runs on crystal power. And, you know, it's just like, duh, you don't even think about it. There are crystals that, like, give off light all throughout the library. And with your perception, you notice that a single one of those lights glows brighter. Then one about 2 feet farther glows brighter. And then one down that way glows brighter. And it looks like they're going in a path that is leading towards the back of the library.
Okay.
And you notice them, and they're kind of blinking in a rapid succession, and they're heading kind of in a continuous pattern that keeps running its way towards the back.
Okay. So somebody else just walked in.
Yes.
The other guy is tied up on the ground, and I took his monitor.
Yes.
Can I stand up and look at the person who just came in and go, "Were you looking for this?" and throw it at their head? And then follow the lights.
Yes. Okay. So make an unarmed, make a improvised. So just go ahead and do your, just roll me your d20 and add your modifier for just standard attack.
It's a 16.
Okay. So 16 does hit.
Wonderful. So yeah,
you launch this and it hits them. Roll me a d4 of damage on that monitor hitting them.
I got a 4 on the D4.
Nice. You absolutely just chuck this thing and you just nail that person as you do that. And you said you're going to book it for the following lights.
I want to follow the line of the lights. I say, "You looking for this?" I throw it. It hits him. I run. I go, Sorry, Helen. And then
Helen, Bryony, what do you do?
Is character wise, I think it is believable that Bryony has some pocket fireworks, like tiny ones.
Sure.
Because she like experiments with making the tiny ones. I told you about this.
Yeah.
Can she throw those at the person?
Absolutely. Give me a ranged attack. You add your proficiency and your dexterity. So just like any of your ranged.
So plus 5, 18.
Okay. So yeah, 18. You throw, what kind of firework do you throw?
So Bryony is experimenting with making little like shape ones that when they can burst and they make little, so they're like little poppers, but they also make like a sparkly image. And I think these are frogs.
Okay. So yeah, you throw this over and it rolls over to the ground and this person looks down at it and says, "Hey, you missed." And then it blows up right under them. Roll a D6 of damage as this little frog image shows up.
5.
Okay. So another 5 damage blows up in this person's face. You see that Dahlia has booked it for the back. Helen, what are you doing?
I think Helen watches Dahlia running back. Do I notice the lights as well? Can I roll for
it? Yeah. Roll a perception check.
It's a 15.
Yeah, you notice them.
Okay. So I think Helen, knowing what she knows about the crystal and also like trusting Dahlia to like have her shit together, Helen is going to grab her handbag from like its spot behind the counter and have like the coffee mug in one hand because she's just like, "No, this is my weapon. I have it now." And I think she's going to try and not necessarily like run for it, but do like a more like sneaky, like go back behind like a couple of shelves and like try and get to like where the lights look like they're leading. I don't know if I can do that in one turn though.
You know, absolutely. Yeah. You this is all kind of happening in an instant. Yeah. You're able to do that. And these guys have not taken any aggressive actions towards you just yet. But yeah, so you just running they don't seem to give a shit. Okay. And so you grab your stuff, you run through, you see where the lights are heading. Bryony, are you threw your firework? What were you doing after that?
Also running towards the lights.
Cool. Yeah.
Hey, and Dahlia, you just follow them.
And you get to the back of the library and Dahlia, you get to where the end of the lights are and there are 2 doors. There is one on the left and there's one on the right.
Go left, go left, go left.
They are both exit doors and roll a perception check.
Ugh, let me just go left. 13.
Okay. And with that, do you just go left?
Yeah, left door.
Okay, cool. And as you open the left door, you push it open, and it is on the, this one is taking you to the current floor. It's kind of a multi-level library, but this will take you to the current floor, and you can take the escape down. As you push it open, you can see one of those hooded figures, and they shove someone off of the edge.
Ow! That's not good. Can I go push him? He's right by the edge, presumably.
Yeah, there's about 30 feet from you to the edge. Mm-hmm. If you'd like to do that, yeah?
Yeah. Well, because then I can be up there and see what he was trying to do also and get him out of the way.
Okay, cool. Yeah, absolutely. You can rush through. Going through the left door, you see that and you run. Make a shove attack.
Push.
So athletics versus athletics.
17.
This one, you do succeed. They roll a 16. And yay. So you shove this person and you run up and you push them right over the edge. Mm-hmm. And you watch as they fall. And it's like a 20-foot drop, which is, mm-hmm. you know, high, but it's not necessarily fatal. The person who they shoved seems to have broken legs. This person, as you shove them, smacks the ground.
Oh.
And as they smack the ground, something breaks.
Mm-hmm.
And as they stand up, as if nothing really fazed them about that,
mm-hmm.
you start to see the strangest thing in the world. Their skin starts to change, and it's almost like something over them is dissolving away. And the outfit they're wearing starts to fade away to reveal metal plate armor, which is something you maybe read of in books or have seen. You know, you've seen movies.
Knights
and stuff,
but in movies.
Yeah, knights in movies. Like, you've seen it, but this design mm-hmm. is very unique. It has like an insignia on the front. And as it all burns away, this scaly clawed hand holds up a busted medallion that is now cracked down the middle in their hand. And looks up at you, and the face of a reptilian humanoid bearing 100 teeth looks up and says, "Man flesh, where is Crystal?" And that is where today's episode stops.
Oh, no! Oh. You always do this, Corso. It's bullshit.